Morning, everyone. It's exciting to have a service this morning.
Great, but we didn't start.
Take two.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Faith Baptist Church. It's great to have you here visiting with us. I know most of you are visiting through some type of screen, whether it's your TV or your tablet or your cell phone. We're just glad you're here. And we're praising the Lord about how God is working in our hearts and our lives during these times. Now, once again, we miss you. We would much rather have you all here, but it's nice to be able to keep in touch this way, and also nice to be able to have services this way. Thank you for all those who are helping make this happen. Also, we appreciate all those that are being faithful. I want to encourage you, get your family together, get ready, and be a whole part of the service. I want to encourage you to sing when it's time to sing, and also get your Bibles out and ready for the preaching time. God's laid something upon my heart I think will be an encouragement and a help to all that will hear. The first song we're going to choose here after we open up in a word of prayer is How Great Thou Art. Some of the songs we've been choosing has things to do with Easter being next Sunday, and we're praying to have some special services next Sunday, but also talking about how great God is and the majesty of God. God is the creator. He is the one in control of all things. And despite it seems like the world is out of control, that's just not the case. There is a God that's in control of all things. Think about some of these words. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, the power throughout the universe displayed. So when you consider the words that are being sung here, then it breaks into a, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And if you continue on, it says, when through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds singing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from the lofty mountain grander and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze. Even though sometimes things might seem hard or tough, when you consider how great God is, boy, everything changes. So today, as we sing these songs, as we praise the Lord for how strong and how majestic he is, let's sing with all our hearts. I know you're going to be in a room that is maybe only a few people, and maybe you don't have the greatest voice. Well, that's okay. You're praising the Lord. So I want to encourage you, as we get ready to sing the song in just a minute, be singing. It says, the third verse is probably my favorite. It says, when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that Jesus would die for me. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. And if you can't rejoice in that, there's something wrong with you. If you can't sing and praise the Lord about that, boy, there's something wrong. There's something broken in there, and you need to get the Lord to help you fix that. But as we're singing about the praises of God, I want to encourage you, be a part of the services, and be a part of the song services. Verse 4, when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in a humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Reality is, we're all going to be saying how great God is someday. Someday we will all bow. Someday our knee will all bend. It's when we do it here on earth that we truly praise the Lord. It's when we do it here on earth that in humble adoration, that God's going to work and the Spirit's going to stir within us, and we're going to see God moving in our hearts and lives. Thank you once again for watching. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer to begin the service. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, when we consider all the majesty of this world, when we consider the stars and the heavens, Lord, it reminds us, what is man that thou art mindful of them? And God, as we consider you and consider your word today, we're asking you to do something that many people probably don't even think is possible. We're asking for you to work not only through your word, but also to a group of people that's not even in the building. I know even some believers and some Christians lack a little bit of faith when it comes to this. And they say it's not the same, but God, I know you can do all things. We pray you take the preaching of your word and the teaching of your word, and we pray that you multiply it for all those that would hear. Not just for those that hear today, but those that may hear in the future. And Lord, you make a change in our hearts and you make a change in our lives that we will go around teaching and giving the words of truth to others. Even the things that are heard today, help us to be encouragement to those that know Christ and those that we can encourage, but also to those that do not know Christ and those that need you. Lord, we pray that today's service be one that would lift you high, and Lord, that we would see you high and lifted up and see how great thou art. And Lord, as we're singing your praises, Lord, we pray that we do it with a way that will be with all our heart, to do justice to you, in a sense, because of how great you are. Help us to do our best today in every part of the service. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to start off our service with our theme song. Once again, it's Brethren, We Have Met to Worship. And that's the point. Even today, during the message a little bit, we're going to talk about worship and how someone continued on worshiping despite the hard times. And I know it might be a time of uncertainty. And you might say, well, we're not even there. No, we're meeting together. This is our church service that God's allowing us to have right now. And we're meeting together and we've come together to worship. So let's pray with all our heart. Let's sing with all our heart. And let's have an anticipation that God's going to work in our lives today. Brother Jim's going to come lead us in our theme song, Brethren, We Have Met to Worship.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. Brethren, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around.
Now we're going to sing How Great Thou Art. All four verses. How great thou art.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and see the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burdens gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration
and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
How I love to read the book you wrote for me.
And the silence leaves me with a sense of loss. I'll remember when my heart begins to question any doubt that you loved me was settled at the
You don't have to tell me, you proved how much you loved me, and I know, I still know, that if you never speak another word of blessing, and the silence leaves me with a sense of loss, I'll remember when my heart begins to question any doubt that you loved me was settled at the cross. Every word was mercy, every breath forgave, every drop of blood testifies of grace. So if you never speak another word of blessing, and the silence leaves me with a sense of loss, I'll remember when my heart begins to question any doubt that you loved me was settled at the cross.
Amen. It's great to be able to just be here at church. Great to hear some of the special music, the congregational singing. It just makes you feel like that you're here and part of the service. And thankful for the opportunity to be here and just be able to proclaim the Word of God and be able to preach the Word of God. So a couple announcements. Birthdays of the week is Jimmy Westbrook's birthday on the 5th, Mary Jo Westbrook's birthday on the 6th, Wilmer Layton's birthday on the 6th, and Charles Chambers' birthday on the 9th, so happy birthday to all of them. Also, anniversaries of the week is Jim and Kathy Fire, and that's on April 7th. A couple other announcements. The church has gotten a P.O. box, and the reason why we've done that is because there's a number of people that are sending in their tithes and their missions and their offerings through the mail, and We've heard at a couple of different churches, not in our area, not here, not Elizabeth City, but different churches across the country, people sometimes are watching the mail and taking the mail out of the mailbox. So we felt like the P.O. box was a little bit safer to help protect your information, to help protect the offerings. And thank you for those that are continuing on giving. The work of God continues to go on. There's still bills. Had a wonderful offering last week, and we're praying that God will take care of us during this time. So it's listed on the top of the bulletin. You say, well, I didn't get a bulletin. Well, if you want a bulletin, you let us know. We'll email it to you. If you don't have an email address or text message, then we will just mail it to you. We need to let know if you were did not get it and would like to have one. If you'd like, just call the office. You don't have to get a bulletin, obviously. If you want to call the office and get the P.O. box, you can do that anytime, Monday through Friday, during our normal working hours. A couple other things I'd like to mention. Our church is trying something new, obviously, with the difference of having to do things through the internet and through technology. We are trying a Facebook page at our church. And so we do have a Facebook page. If you will go to Facebook, if you're a Facebook member, just go to Faith Baptist Church Elizabeth City. What you will see is all the different videos and sermons and even some of the messages that I've given concerning our prayer challenge. They're all on the Facebook page. Now, I'm not saying that you have to have a Facebook page. It's just another platform that we're using to get out the word and get out the message. I know many of you have one, and it has to be hosted by an account, so it's hosted by my account. So if you want to look at that, and if you want to subscribe to that or even try to friend me, all those different things, I don't know much about it, but we're doing our best to get the word out as much as possible. Now, you say, well, I don't have a Facebook page. Well, on the website, you can still follow the live stream button, and we'll take you to the YouTube channel. Remember, a YouTube channel has FBC ECNC. If you type those things in, you can subscribe even to that channel, and there it has all the different messages and the same things that you'll find on the Facebook page. But we're trying to give you two different platforms to look at and to use. So those are important things we want to remind you about. I'm not saying that I agree with everything that comes to social media. I'm not saying I agree with everything that happens on Facebook. Guess like I don't agree with everything that happens on YouTube. Guess like I don't agree with everything that happens on the internet. But it's an opportunity and it's a way to be able to reach out to another group of people that maybe cannot or have not the ability to get to our sermons. I know some of the older people have told me, I don't know how to get to YouTube, but I can get to Facebook. I use that. So that's a way and an avenue. So we're encouraged about that. We're excited about that. Mentioning the prayer challenge, last Sunday afternoon, I've challenged our church family, led by the Lord, I believe, challenge your church family to pray an hour a day. So to help with that, we're going to post probably 7 or 8, maybe 9 different short videos to help extend our prayer times, to teach us different things. So there's 2 different short videos on the Facebook page and also on the YouTube channel. First is the introduction, and secondly, it talks about a time of praise during our prayer time. And I encourage you to watch those, and throughout this week, we're hoping to have a couple more done, and we will put them out there. So keep an eye on the YouTube channel and the Facebook page to keep on getting these messages to help us extend our prayer time. I've had probably somewhere around 10 different people talk to me about taking the challenge, and I'm encouraged when people tell me that. And I want you to do your best to extend whatever prayer time you have. Some say, I can't do it a whole hour. Well, if you watch these videos, I think if you have an interest and you want to, it's possible. But if you just want to extend your time, that's even better. And if you're praying for an hour already, you know the importance of prayer already, let me encourage you to extend even that a little bit. It is a time of, this is a great time of need. I mentioned yesterday in the video, if the president can call it a national emergency and many people call it a pandemic, we can definitely call our church family to prayer. And that's what we're trying to do, is to be able to get our church family interested in what's going on and praying more, letting God work in their hearts in a special way, so that way we can be ready and prepared for whatever God has in store for us. Once again, thank you for being here this morning, and be faithful with the services.
Our next song is At Calvary, number 67 in the hymnal. Sing all 4 verses, please. All 4 verses, number 67, At Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, apart, and there was multiplied to me there my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last I sin I learned. Then I trembled at the lights burned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me there. My burden soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me there. My burden soul found liberty at Calvary.
And the last.
Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me there. My burden soul found liberty at Calvary.
Spoke the words and all the worlds came into order. You raised your hand and planets filled celestial skies. You placed the woman and the man inside the garden. And though they fell, they found compassion in your eyes. At the wonder of your deeds, yet a greater wonder brings me to my knees. Lord, I praise you because of who you are, not because of all the mighty things you've done. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Because of who you are. One holy night you brought your promise from a virgin, and promise grew as he revealed to us your heart. Enduring love displayed throughout his crucifixion, and in the dark you tore the grave and death apart. Oh Lord, I stand amazed at the wonder of your deeds, and yet a greater wonder brings me to my knees. Lord, I praise you because of who you are, not because
Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles to the book of Job this morning. Job chapter number 1. Job chapter number one. And as you've kind of seen a little bit of a theme throughout the services, you know what? He deserves our praise. How great thou art. And you think about how great mercy was at Calvary and what he did for us. And as you heard the song there, talking about who you are, it's not just about God's, the greatness of God and all the things he's done, but he's our Lord. And you heard from when the Batemans were singing about how we know he loves us because of what he did for us. And so we're going to look at another great question of the Bible. And I got to be honest with you, when I started studying the book of Job, there's a great question of the Bible that's later on in the book that is what I wanted to preach about. But as I've been studying and working, I know the Lord kind of led me to talk a little bit about Job, and it's a different question that's found in the Bible. So already we've talked about how God has spoken to man in a number of ways, and when God asks the question, why is he asking the question? It's not because he doesn't have knowledge, it's not because he doesn't have understanding. He wants man to consider something, and man to learn something about himself, or man to learn something about God. Now last week in the book of Esther, we talked about Mordecai, a man asking a lady a question. And I pray that God was a challenge to your heart last Sunday afternoon. I know a number of people have mentioned that, how God worked in their heart during that message. And I know that we've been having a little bit of technical difficulty. I think the devil's trying to stop the messages from getting out. But if you're there and you're trying, we're getting it done as best as we can. We think that we've fixed a lot of those problems. We're praying for no problems at all this week. Now, this week is going to be a different question. And it's the only place in the Bible that I can find that God is asking Satan the question. And you think about it, God asking Satan the question. There has been some times when God communicated with Satan. You think about it, in the garden, God was speaking to Satan. God punished the serpent. And you think about at the temptation of Christ, there was the communication that was going on there. But this is a fascinating book. It really is. And in the next few weeks, I'm going to be reading through it and trying to read through it a couple different times because I'm preparing for that message about that great question in the Bible later on. And maybe if you read through the book of Job, it might help you have some understanding there. But here, the Lord just couldn't let me get past chapter 1 and chapter number 2. And the question that he asked Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" And so the title of this morning's message is Considering Job. Considering Job. Now, I've been praying and trying to figure out exactly how we can tell the message and how we can tell the story. And I think the best way is for us to read chapter 1 and also a portion of chapter number 2. And we're going to refer back and forth to this. And I think this is something that can learn from, and this will be an encouragement to you, and this will be a help to you. And I know many times people say, okay, Pastor, this is a great topic. This is a great theme. You think about it, Job here is going to teach us how to go through tribulations the right way. And I know that's what many people think. Well, Job, okay, that's right. He's going through tribulations. He's going through trials. And with the day and time we're living in with the virus, that's an application we can make. But I think sometimes we miss the point of the Bible. The point of the Bible is not to impress us with Job. The point of the Bible is to impress us with a God that Job decided to serve. And when we study great men of Scripture, it's not so that we can know more about the Scripture or know them better. It's so we can know Christ better, so we can know God better. And so when we look at these men, it's not as that we're trying to clear up a view of them, but instead we're trying to get a clearer view of God. And if you consider the Scriptures as a mirror, like the Bible is described as a mirror, it is teaching truth about ourselves. When we look at this individual, when we look at this person, and when we consider Job, we need to mention our own heart. When I think about Job and I think about the trials and I think about, wow, look at all the things he went through. But what is the purpose of the book? And it's something to teach us about who God is. If you consider the end of the book, in Job chapter 42, verse number 5, it says, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." So what the Scripture is saying, and God actually says about Job as a testimony, as he's speaking to Satan, he says there's none in all the earth like him. Now consider this, God who knows the hearts of all men, he looks throughout the earth going to and fro, and he says there's no one in the earth like Job. Now at the end of the book, after he goes through all these trials, after he goes through all these testings, after he goes through those friends or so-called friends, after he goes through the challenges he has with God, he says, "Look, I see God better now." He said,
I've heard of him by the hearing the ear, but now I see of him. So how does he get to the point of being that there is none like Job in all the earth, to the point of saying, look, I see God better. I see God clearer. And I think if we were there and Mr. Job came up and preached and Mr. Job had the message, it wouldn't be about him. It wouldn't be about his kids. It wouldn't be about his trials and his sufferings. It would be, hey, God did this in my life. And after all these things, I saw God in a better light. And what I'm hoping and what I'm praying for my own life and for our people's lives is that after we get over this and after we come through this, what they're calling a pandemic, and when we come through this virus, that we see God better, that we prepare our hearts and soften our hearts to see God in the midst of the trials. And I think that many times when we look at certain characters in the Bible, we forget to say, okay, what can I learn about him? And yes, we're going to learn about Job, but we're going to understand why Job was willing still to worship despite the trials, because he serves a great God. And we put God up on the pedestal, and we learn from Job, we learn from the characters in the Bible. The day and time that we live in, so many times people let their circumstance, so many times people let their circumstances define who they are. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, your circumstances do not define who you are. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you know what? How you react to those circumstances defines how we view God and how we think about God. In the day and time we live in, there is far too many people who live lives that are defined by things and the things that are out of their control. And I want to encourage you, as a follower of Jesus Christ, this is not something we should be doing. Our life is not about something. It's not about someone. It's about Jesus Christ. And we may not be able to control the virus, and we may not be able to control the things going on, but we control how we respond to those things, and we control how we react to those things, and we control how we behave. And that's what we're going to see today in the story. We're going to see a man that God describes and gives a testimony about on three different occasions, and it's a powerful testimony. Then we're going to see his trials, and then we're going to consider his tenacity. He says, tenacity, you're going to see after all these things happen, God says he still held on to his integrity. And I want to encourage you today, as you consider Job, consider his testimony, consider his trials, and consider his tenacity. So I know it's going to be a little bit longer scripture reading than we normally do. I'm going to try to tell the story as it goes along, but I think it's important that we get a whole grasp of the picture, and that way in the weeks following, when we look at another message or two out of Job, it will help us with this. Let's look at considering Job. And we're going to read kind of quickly. I'm going to stop and give some commentary here, so that way if you're not too familiar with the story of Job, you'll see it, you'll hear it, you understand it. Remember, at the end, what Job would want and what God is seeking and what I'm hoping and praying for is that we have a better, clearer view of what God is trying to do in this day and time. So let's jump in here. It says in verse number 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Man, what a testimony there. And the idea of perfect isn't talking about being sinless. It's talking about being complete. And it's talking about upright, meaning he chose to do it right, even though in that generation of time, it was not a very, it was a wicked and evil time period. And it says that he feared God, meaning he had reverence and respect for God, and he eschewed evil. And I know we're going quickly through that testimony. You could spend a whole sermon talking about the testimony of Job, but that's not the point of today. He eschewed evil, meaning he hated sin, and he turned from doing those sins. Verse number 2, and there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. So he had a large family. Now consider his substance. His substance was also 7,000 sheep, and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters, and to eat and to drink with them. So we have there that is a close family. They're able to spend time together. They're feasting together. You saw the possessions, as in verse number 3. You saw the testimony that God gave about him. Verse number 4, and his sons went and feasted in their houses every one his day. Some people think that every one his day is referring to their actual days of their birth. We don't really know, but that's what many commentators think. And sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. It was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job And that next word, continually. This is something he cared about, their relationship, not only his relationship with God, he cared about their children's relationship with God also. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Now in verse number 6, you kind of have the curtain drawn back. You're seeing a scene that's up in heaven. Verses 1 through 5 begin to describe Job and describe the story of Job. Verse number 6, you see the sons of God coming and presenting themselves to the Lord. And also there, Satan was there with them. Verse number 7, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Once again, God knew exactly where he was. God knew exactly what Satan was thinking. And then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And once again, we don't really truly understand exactly the response there. God would, and we don't hear the whole conversation as we know it. I'm thinking that because God has given him and made him the prince and the power of the air here in this world, he's walking to and fro, and he's saying to God, he's challenging God, look, there's no one who worships you. There's no one who loves you. And that's the reason why God responds this way in verse number 7, and verse number 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? A perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Man, if God is saying that about you, what an amazing testimony. You know, he said he was a servant. And look at all those different things. And he says he was unlike any other man in all the earth. Verse number 9, Satan has an opinion about Job also. Satan hates the believer. Satan hates someone who loves God and lives for God. And Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Has not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that on he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. So the Lord and Satan are having this conversation. He says, oh yeah, he might worship you now, but if you took all the things away from him that you gave him, he's going to curse you. Verse number 12, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thine power. Isn't it wonderful God can limit the devil? I mean, it's amazing that we know that everything the devil has to do has to be by permission of God. And he says, and the Lord said unto him, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So we're beginning now to see the trials. He loses all his sheep. He loses all his oxen. Verse number 16, while he was yet speaking, can you imagine the blow that would have been to lose all those animals? But while he was yet speaking, talking about the servant, he says, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and have burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped to tell thee. And we see there's another group there. It talks about the oxen in verse number 15. It's talking about the sheep in verse number 16. Verse 17, and while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped. So the oxen in verse 15, the sheep in verse 16, and in 17 you have the camels. So pretty much his possessions that were talked about in verse number 3, they are all gone. Verse 18, while he was yet speaking, what else could happen? There came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped to tell thee. And you think about a trial. Imagine losing a portion of your possession. And then imagine you losing another portion, and then losing another portion, and then losing all your children in just minutes. That is a time of testing and a time of trial. And it said in verse number 20, Job's response. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Verse number two, as it continues, it says, we see this scene again. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Now, chapter number one, Satan is saying, he's going to curse you if you do this. Chapter number one also tells us Job's response. Chapter number two begins in the same picture. And Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. In verse number two, and the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Verse number three, the Lord asked this question the second time. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto him, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. So you think about this. You know, well, boils, what's the big deal? You consider the worst thing that the devil could do is what he put upon Job. And it says in verse number 8, and he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're seeking you today. Lord, we want to know you better. We want to understand you better. We want to see you better. God, thank you for this example here. There's a lot of things we can learn from it. But from all of this, help us to see that you're worthy of our praise and our worship. Lord, help us to understand in this story that no matter what happens in our life, we can still worship you. And that no matter what the devil might try to tell us is a lie, we can have victory. God, work in our hearts. Speak to our lives today. Work in a way that will matter for eternity. Not just for one moment, not just to have a crisis-type Christianity, but a work that will continue on all the way through eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's a couple of things I want you to think about. I already gave you the outline for the messages. The first thing is consider his testimony. Consider his testimony. I want you to see what God said once again about him in verse number 1 in chapter 1, verse number 1, chapter number 8, and chapter number 2, verse number 3. Chapter 1, verse number 1, God describes him. He was a perfect and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. To me, I think this is very powerful. But you go to verse number 8, and he says, consider my servant, Job. So he was all those things in verse number 1, but he said he was his servant. I wonder, would God call you his servant today? I know what it is. I know you say, well, you're a pastor. You're supposed to be a servant of the Lord. There's a missionary. He's supposed to be a servant of the Lord. Let me encourage you. God wants all of us to be his servants. Not just me as a pastor in a full-time ministry or the missionaries that are on a field or despite whoever you are. If you're a child of God, you should be a servant of his. His word teaches us that. So I want you to consider that all those powerful things, he talks about him being upright and talks about him being complete and he talks about him being mature. He talks about him fearing God and hating evil. But it's more important what God thinks about you more than anyone else. Remember, this is God's own testimony. What would God say about you today, Christian? What would God say about you and the life that you're living right now? Are you a servant of God? Are you someone who is mature as a believer? Are you someone who is upright, that chooses to do what's right, and that fears God and eschews evil? You think about it, lots of people have lots of opinions. And we're not only going to consider God's testimony here. This is how God saw him. Remember, there's how other people see you. But the Bible tells us that man looketh on the outward appearance. God looketh on the heart. So we see Job's heart here. And now we don't know what Job looks like. We don't know what Job's family looks like. We don't know any of those things, but we know what God sees in his heart. Let me encourage you. You might be able to fool the entire world. You might be able to fool me, and there have been people that have done that. You might be able to fool your family, even fool your mate, but there is a God that you're not going to be able to fool. Consider Job's testimony. This is how God saw him. Second thing, you think about in verse number 3, how man saw him. He saw the substance. He had 7,000 sheep. He had 3,000 camel, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So in man's eyes, it says in verse number 3, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of these. So I want you to understand, consider what God said about him. Now consider what man's saying. Man's saying, look at him, he's the greatest of all these. He has the greatest amount of possessions. He has the biggest family. That's how man saw him. And let me encourage you that we should have a good testimony, but if our heart is right, then our outside's going to be right too. Remember, God looketh on the heart. Man looketh on the outward appearance, and if we have the right heart, it's going to show up out here, but that's how man sees him. Then I want you to think for a second how the devil sees him. You think about how Satan saw him. Now, let's remember who Satan is. Remember, Satan is a liar. He is a father of lies. He is known as being accuser of the brethren. But he does not believe when God says in verse number 8, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." The devil says to the Lord, "You're a liar." He says, no. Job would not act like that. Job would not be like that. Job could not continue on like that if you took away all his possessions. And then later on, he says, look, yeah, maybe you took away all his possessions, but if you harm him individually, he's going to curse you to your face. I want to encourage you here, when you consider the testimony of God, it's truth, it's reality, it's in the heart. That's why we need to ask God to do a deep work, an inward heart renewal, or an inward moving and cleaning of the heart. Because it doesn't matter what man says. And it doesn't even matter what the devil's telling you. I tell you, the devil is going to try to tell you a lie. The devil's going to tell you, hey, you can't worship God if there's a trial. You can't continue on serving God if there's a trial. You cannot continue on living for God in a time like this. God doesn't care if you, you know, he will try over and over and over to convince you that you're not able to live for God. But thankfully, in the Word of God, we are told we can have victory. In the Word of God, it talks about how greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm so glad that we can have victory. I'm so glad that I don't have to buy into the lie of the devil, that if there's a sin in front of me, sometimes my whole flesh is saying, you got to do this. You don't have any choice, but we can have victory. And that's one of the things we learned from Job, is he was put to maybe the ultimate test, losing all his possessions, losing his family, even having his wife try to encourage him to just get over it and just die. And you know what he says, and he is an example, that God can allow us to have victory. Don't feel like you have to give in on the Lord during this time. Don't feel like you have to give up. I don't know what type of vice you may be struggling with. I don't know what type of sin you may be struggling with. I don't know what type of hardship you might be struggling with. But Job teaches us something about God. He teaches us that we can stay faithful to God. God gives him the strength. No one can do this in their own power. No one can do this in their own might. It's because he feared the Lord, and because he eschewed evil, because he was mature as a believer. Who made him that way? God did. And we can have the victory. What a wonderful testimony. We see God sees the heart, and it's right with the Lord. And then we see how man sees him. And that really doesn't matter. But then you see how the devil saw him and said, you know what? I can get this guy to fall. I can get this guy to give in to the Lord. And when you see that, consider that. And when you're faced with a temptation, and when you're faced with sin, man, I hate the devil. I hate what he does to people. I hate when people buy into the lie. I hate when people take the hook and the line. And, you know, I hate it all because of the fact that the devil was a liar, and he's a father of them, and he doesn't understand that someone can love God with all their heart and all their soul and all their might. He's going to keep on coming, and he's going to keep on telling you lie after lie after lie until you realize that I got a God that is greater than any devil. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So I want you to think about his testimony. Consider his testimony for a moment. Secondly, I want you to consider his trials. Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time here, and I don't think we need to. I think all of us could understand what happens here. First, he attacks him financially. And sometimes when the devil attacks, or sometimes when we have a financial problem, It's easy to give up on God. Oh, God's not taking care of me. God doesn't give me what I need. I got to stop tithing. I got to stop going to church. I have to look for different avenues. I have to look for different ways. We don't see that from Job. Why is that? Because Job knows that, hey, I didn't have anything when I began. I'm not going to have anything when I leave. I can trust the Lord. The Lord give it. The Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, that no matter what I have or don't have, I can still worship him. So consider the financial loss. And don't get me wrong, I hear people complain or boo-hoo and cry about maybe losing out on something. And don't get me wrong, I sympathize with that. I don't want to lose the possessions that God has given me. I don't. But at the same time, this is an example that, hey, God's the one that gave it to us to begin with. If God allowed it to be taken away, I can still worship him. I don't have to give up. It's financial hardship. And not only does he attack the financial things, consider the family. I have two boys. I love both of them. I couldn't imagine losing one of them. But to consider losing 10 of them at one time, wow. I don't have to sit there and tell stories that tug at your heart. Just the thought of losing a child. Could you imagine even just losing one of the precious young people God's given to us at our church family? But imagine if they were your own flesh and blood. And imagine if there was 10 of those and they were all gone just like that within moments after losing everything. This was a trial. And then the next thing you see here, it says that I don't know if you want to use the word pass the test or pass the trial, because that's what trials are. It's a time of testing. That God allowed the devil then to touch his body. And I'm not going to go through the whole description, maybe later on in one of the other studies, but this was a pretty nasty thing that the devil did to him in verse number 7 in chapter number 2. He smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet unto his crown. And if you go in later chapters, it talks about how the pus that came out of those and worms. I mean, it was... In my mind, if he took away his whole family, he took away all those other things, I think the devil in his own thinking said, I'm going to hit Job with the worst thing that I can do without killing him. Consider his sufferings. Consider these trials. Now, consider what you're going through. Now, not having toilet paper is a really, really big deal. Don't get me wrong. Not having toilet paper is something that it can be a trial. But I think Job would have gladly switched. I think Job would have said, okay. But I want you to understand here, what God is trying to teach us is that no matter what you're going through, you can remain faithful to me. The third thing I want you to think about, not only is it his testimony, not only is it his trials, but consider his tenacity. And I know that it's another T, and it's because I wanted the outline to stay in your heart and your mind. His testimony, his trials, his tenacity. You say, well, what does the word tenacity mean? And I looked it up because you know me, I'm not the smartest guy in the world. But the word tenacity talks about the quality of or fact of being able to grip something firmly. The quality or fact of being very determined. And you see in this story that it says at the end of verse chapter number 1, it says, in all this Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. You go to chapter number 2 at the end of verse number 10. And all this did not Job sin with his lips. Was Job perfect? No. Job begins later on after listening to some of his friends questioning God. And that's what we're going to talk about later on. And then God reveals himself unto Job. And Job sees God in a different light. And it's something that is important. But what I think he wants us to learn today is, you can live for God. I love the story, and I love the word that God uses here in chapter number 2, verse number 3. I have it circled in my Bible. It goes down a little bit, and it uses the word still. He holdeth fast his integrity. But the same word is used in verse number 9 when his wife is saying, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy integrity? So what I believe that God is teaching us here is that no matter what happens, we still can worship God. We still can live for God. We can still hold on to our integrity. We can walk in our integrity. There's two things I want you to think about Are you still living for God? It says that he sinned not. He didn't charge God foolishly. He didn't sin with his mouth. And it says that when the devil came to God, he says, look, I saw all you did to him. And he's still holding on to his integrity. He's still doing what is right. And that's what the idea of integrity, talking about being upright, choosing to do what's right. You did all this stuff to him. You took away all his possessions. And he is still holding on to his integrity. He's still choosing to worship. There's two things that I think that he was tenacious about. First thing I want you to think about is that he was tenacious, or he still worshiped. Go to chapter number 1. At the end of chapter number 1, in verse number 20, it says, then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and began to whine and complain. It doesn't say that, does it? Now, that's what many of us would do. We would many times begin mourning, renting our mantle in a sense, and we begin to say, woe is me, how can I ever recover? How can all these things happen? But you know what it says? He was tenacious. He still worshiped, and that's what I want to be. That's who I want to be. It's because I have a God that's worthy of worship. It wasn't the fact that there was something special about Job. It was the fact that there was something special about God, and Job learned something about God. And it's the same thing that we can learn about God, that no matter what's happening, he is still worthy of the worship. He is still worthy of the praise. He is still worthy of us to fall on our face and say, hey, I know that you're God, and I see that you're God, and I'm going to continue on living for you, and I'm going to be tenacious when it comes to my worship. And you see what happens here. You see why he is tenacious. He gets an understanding that if we would learn, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord have taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's learning something. Hey, look, when I came into this world, I had nothing. I was naked. And when I leave this world someday, I'm leaving this world physically naked. I can't take anything physically with me. And I understand that God is the giver and taker of life. And I understand that God is the owner and creator of all things. And that anything I had, he gave me. And anything I had came from him. And I am just a steward of it. And if he chooses to take away from me the things that he has given me, you know what? Blessed be the name of the Lord. I am thankful for the time and opportunity I had. I listened to a funeral message and a preacher had lost his wife. And it spoke to my heart. And he used this passage of scripture. And I think, well, what an odd way, passage of scripture. But as he began to preach, he says, you know what? He gave me my wife. And he said, for whatever number of years. And he says, then he took her away. But I'm thankful for the years I had her. I praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he began in the message in the sermon talking about, hey, he gave, you know, me this, and he gave my family this, and he gave my church family this. And it was a wonderful message. It really touched my heart that a man could get up and preach that at a funeral of his own wife. And what a special time. And if we would look at it that way, I might lose something that I value, but God's the one that gave it to me anyway. I see him as creator. I see him as the owner and ruler of all. And as he is that, I understand when something is taken away that he does not change who God is. If I worship him when I was wealthy, I can worship him when I'm poor. If I worship him when I have friendship and family, I can worship him when they're all gone. And I know it's a hard lesson, and this is like a challenge, and it is challenging because of the day and time that we live in, there is so much uncertainty. Nobody really knows what's going to happen tomorrow. And I believe God's trying to get a hold of our hearts, and I believe God led us to Job chapter 1 and 2 today to say, hey, during this time, we need to worship him because he was God before the virus. He's going to be God after the virus. And if God has given us some special things in this country, we should be thankful for those. And if we don't have some of those things afterwards, we can still praise him because of what he did before, because I know everything comes from God. And if God chooses to take something away, he's still God, and I can still worship him. You think about it, he was tenacious. He still worshiped. And I think that's amazing. I pray that speaks to your heart. I know it speaks my heart. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord on the day he learned he lost everything. But not only is he tenacious about worship, he was tenacious about his integrity or doing what's right. So if you consider his tenacity, consider he still worshiped, he still walked in his integrity. He's still doing right. I don't know about you, but sometimes people use tragedy as a way to skip church. Now, there's sometimes two reactions. Sometimes people have crisis Christianity and they run to church for a week or two. And there are others who say, God didn't help me. Where was God when this happened? God took this away from me, so now I got to skip church or I got to give up. Now, the amazing thing about Job here is he's tenacious. He continues still to worship. He continues to still walk in his integrity. He is still choosing to do what's right. He is still choosing to do, even despite the fact that the devil touched him and he had boils from his foot all the way to his head, and he's sitting there with a potsherd and scraping. Oh, I mean, if you consider that, that sounds just horrible. And you know what's happening there? God himself said earlier before that you still had your integrity. And that was a testimony he's given to the devil and saying, hey, look, Satan, he's still doing what's right. Despite what you said, despite the accusation, he's still doing what's right. And I find it interesting that later on, his wife comes up to him in verse number 9. And don't get me wrong, I'm not picking on his wife because his wife has just lost just as much as he has. And it says, then said his wife unto them, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Now that word still is an interesting word. And I don't believe it's talking about, you know, standing still. It means that you're fastening your grip a little bit stronger. You're holding on a little bit more. Remember what tenacious means. It's the being able to grip something firmly. And it's saying that you're gripping even firmly. When the boils are all over and I'm scraping with the potsherd, and my wife, the one that's supposed to be my support, the one that's supposed to be my helpmate, is coming and saying, are you still holding on to this? God says it in verse number 3, and we see the heart there. And you say, well, after he was touched with the boils, it never says that God said he still held on. But I think you could tell from the testimony of his wife that wishes he would give up and just curse God and die. And you see that even a worldly viewpoint, even a viewpoint that somebody's angry with God, you see someone that's overwhelmed and someone that's distraught and someone who's, that I'm sure was someone who, that Job prayed for and who knew who God was, even from either Job's testimony or even a personal relationship. And she's saying, how can you still hold on to this? And I don't know about you, but I think it's amazing that God said it about Job. And even though it's a negative way, it's still quite a testimony that someone that's close to you can say, you still got it. You're still walking in that integrity. And you know, the trials that happen in this world and the trials that happen in this life, there are people that are around us that have a negative viewpoint of God that are looking and seeing how you, Mr. Christian or Miss Christian, is going to respond. And what a testimony it would be if when the people that becomes the devil's mouthpieces. So what do you mean the devil's mouthpieces? Well, who's the one that says Job's going to die or Job's going to curse God? It's Satan. And who's the one now encouraging him to curse God and die? It's Job's wife. You say, she became the devil. You know, that's the problem, is when we don't live for God and we start saying things that are not godly, we become the devil's mouthpieces. I mean, what did Jesus say to Peter? Get thee behind me, Satan. The things that Peter was saying to Christ about not dying and not being giving, you know, going to the cross, he's saying, look, what you're saying are the things from the devil. You don't want to be the devil's mouthpiece. You don't want to be Satan's mouthpiece. And that's exactly what Job's wife is doing here. She is being the mouthpiece of Satan and saying, why don't you do the same thing that the devil wants you to do? Once again, I don't know how I would react if I lost everything and then I lost all my children and I had, you know, I don't know how I would react. So I'm not picking on Mrs. Job here. I'm just showing you there's an example of how you can react. But I love the story here of Job. No matter what is placed in his heart, no matter what's placed in his life, he's tenacious. He's still serving. I don't know about you, but after the end of whatever this is, I want to still be serving. I want to still be worshiping. I want to still be choosing to do what's right. I want to be walking in my integrity. And I'm not saying I'm perfect, but at the same time, I want to be what God wants me to be when this is all said and done. But sometimes when tragedy happens, people leave God. They choose not to worship. They choose not to continue to do what's right. I don't know about you, but how many times I've heard an individual say, well, because they did this to me, this is the way I reacted. You're not choosing to do what's right. You're letting your circumstances define who you are. I'm thankful here that Job teaches us that I do not have to let my circumstances define me. I do not have to let this victimized society that we live in, everybody thinks they're a victim, define who I am. I am a child of God, and I worship the Lord, and I will continue to worship the Lord. I'm not going to let my circumstance dictate how I'm going to act. I'm going to let the God that I stand in his presence continually dictate how I'm going to respond to any circumstance that happens in my life. Hast thou considered my servant Job, is what he asked Satan. And I want you to ask yourselves today, have you considered Job? Have you considered how you're responding to the circumstances that are around you? And I know it's a challenge. It's amazing how some people have different ideas and different responses. But do not let this virus define who you are. If you are a believer and a child of God, you know what you are? You are someone who's accountable. You are someone who God loves, and he sees exactly what you're going through. Today, have thou considered my servant Job? What type of testimony would God give you today? Are you someone that God could lay in the devil's hands? That's what it says there. And I think it's kind of interesting, chapter number 2. And it says that in verse number 6, it says, behold, he is in thine hand. He lays Job in the devil's hand. Wow. What type of testimony would God give about you today? I don't really care what others say. I don't really care what the devil's trying to say about you. What would God say? Consider the trials you're going through. And I'm not minimizing them. Things hurt. God gives us grace to be, God's grace is sufficient to see through the trials. And I watch what some people go through, and I definitely do not want to go through what they're going through. But I consider Job's tenacity, and it reminds me that God gives us the victory. I believe that the only reason why Job was able to sin not and not charge God foolishly is because the strength he was able to rely on as being a man that was perfect or complete, upright, that eschewed evil, that feared God. I want that type of testimony. I don't want God to lay me in the devil's hands, that's for sure. But at the same time, I want to be someone that is still serving. So consider, am I still serving today, despite the trials of life, despite the virus? Is this something I'm still serving? Be tenacious about your worship, and be tenacious about your walk with God. I don't want to use it as a side note, but at the same time, I don't want to end the service without at least giving a call out to those that might not know Christ as their personal Savior. Job serves a mighty God. And chapters later, it talks about the Redeemer. And it's a wonderful passage of scripture, and we might even look at it as we're looking at Job a little bit. And talks about how we all need a Redeemer. We're all sinners. We're all lost. We all need a Savior. And as a child of God, as a person who's put their faith and trust in God, they've turned to God, and they believe that they were a sinner in need of a Savior, and that Christ died and buried and rose again, and that we can call out to God. We can cry out to God in our sin and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I see that my sin has separated me from God, because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And it's talking about an eternal separation from God forever. And then I'm crying out to you, Lord, and I'm asking that you would save me from my sins. I believe that Jesus died and that he rose again, and that he was buried and rose again. And I see what he did for me, and I'm trusting in him and him alone for my salvation. You can call out to him today. If you need to go to our website, it explains the plan of salvation. If you want to call someone on the phone you can trust spiritually, I'm sure they could walk you through it. But more importantly, if God is working in your heart and mind about seeing this character of Job and saying, man, Job had something that I want. Job had that type of relationship with God, and I want to have a relationship with God. It's simply understanding who you are, understanding who he is, understanding what you did in sin and how that separates you from God, and it's going to separate you forever until you see what Christ did for us. And instead of trusting in yourself and your own works, you turn to God and what Christ did for us, and you put your faith and trust in him. Cry out to him today. And to those that are believers in the room, make a decision that I am going to be tenacious when it comes to my worship. Nothing's going to stop me from worshiping. I understand everything that I've gotten is from God, and if God chooses to take it away, guess what? He's still God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Secondly, don't let trials define who you are. You are a child of God. And as a child of God, you have the ability to have victory. And that's when I see our Job. The trials are crazy. But he shows us that there is a God that can help us overcome. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord, I pray that you bless this service, that you bless this sermon. Lord, I pray that you help it to continue on and help it to be something that will make a difference in eternity. Lord, by the way we live today, help us to become tenacious. Help us to be tenacious about our walk. Help us to be tenacious about our worship. Thank you for the example of Job. Help us to see God through this trial. Help us see God through this virus. Help us see how God was working and moving. Job said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Help us to see you at work. In Jesus' name, amen. So, once again, we're praying for no technical difficulties this week. You pray with us about that. A lot of people have been working really hard, especially the couple guys that are normally in the sound booth. They're working super hard, and they're spending a lot of hours making things work. So please be patient. Also, be encouragement to other people. I really enjoy receiving your texts or your calls about how God's working in your heart. I don't care if it's because of a sermon that I preach. I care less about that. If it's your Bible reading, whatever it is, if God's working in your heart and mind, encourage one another with it. I've had a lot of people tell me, hey, you know, when someone calls me, it's such an encouragement. The phone goes both ways. Call people. Encourage them. I had one lady tell me, I had a Bible study with a lady over the phone this past week, and they said, we spent an hour. We prayed together. We read our Bible together, and we just talked, and it was wonderful. And I told that lady, I said, well, who did you call the next day? And they're like, what? I says, well, there's a long list of people that could use that same encouragement. And there's be an encouragement to somebody. Encourage somebody to pray with you on the phone. Encourage to read the Bible together with someone. Be tenacious when it comes to your worship, but also be tenacious when it comes to your walk with God. Walk in integrity. Choose to do what's right. See you in the next service.